church. Please find our seats and up our hymnals to song number 167. We'll be singing song number 167, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Again, that is song number 167. Singing song number 404, When the Battle's Over, singing that song number 404.
We shall wear the crown. All right, well, welcome back to the evening service, Faithful Word. If you'd like a bulletin, you can go ahead and slip up your hand and one will be brought to you. And we have not a whole lot in the way of announcements, but as always, our service times are listed there in the back. And we'll be back this Thursday at 7 as we go through Genesis 37. I'm actually going to preach a little bit more out of Genesis 36. In fact, I'm going to preach exactly one more verse out of Genesis 36 tonight. So you might get out of here a little early. I was kind of warning the guys on the way in. I don't know if it's a warning or maybe it's more of a blessing or a promise. It's no promise. I can never promise how long it's going to take. But I've only got one page of notes. That's what I was telling them. So I had a whole other sermon written this afternoon, and I had just decided, you know, I don't want to preach that. I just don't feel like it's a good time to preach it. I figured I'll preach it some other time, maybe. But there was one verse in Genesis 36 that I didn't cover last week that I thought I'd give it a shot tonight. So we'll give it a chance, but we'll see how it goes, I guess. But we have the church-wide soul winning, the regional soul winning, salvations, baptisms, attendances, averages below that, and just a few notes about the church. But let's just quickly count up the soul winning going back to Friday, if there's anything from Friday to report. Or Saturday. I know we had one with the group, but is there anything outside the group? And then what about today?
Seven.
Wow. Praise the Lord. All right. Man, I should start soul winning on Sunday. I mean, that's like, apparently you guys know where all the spots are and you're holding out on me. But anyway, keep up the great work, soul winning. We'll go ahead and sing one more song before we get into preaching tonight.
Chapter 126.
Psalm 126, beginning at verse 1. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Brother Walid, can you pray?
Lord, we're just here, Father. We thank you for allowing us to congregate today, this evening. Lord God, we ask you to bless our hearts, Lord God, and our ears, so that we may receive your word. And we ask you to bless the mouth of the deacon as he preaches to us your wonderful word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So as I said during the announcements, I'm actually going to be in Genesis 36. So if you want to just quickly go back to Genesis 36, we'll come back to Psalms 126 in just a minute. But again, as I said, I just want to look at one verse here. But let's go ahead and read the whole chapter anyway. I'm just kidding. We're not going to read the whole chapter. So that'd be quite the exercise there, again, reading all of those names there. And of course, you all know the story here. This is listing the generations of Esau, who was Edom. I covered a lot of that on Thursday night. But there was one verse there in verse 24 that I want to look at. And I thought it was kind of, you know, maybe not the sermon itself, but just the exercise of preaching this sermon from this verse would be kind of important. Just to kind of show us that, you know, we should never just gloss over chapters in the Word of God. Even when we get these litany of names and these, you know, these really don't have a lot of bearing on our life today. You know, who was the son of who and who was the duke of where. But if we are, you know, we get through those things, we read those things, you know, if we paid close enough attention, we might actually make some interesting connections. But, you know, we might, if we stick with it, you know, we're not going to miss verses like verse 24. Because verse 24, you know, you're pretty much halfway through the chapter there, and you've been reading a lot of names leading up to verse 24. And then all of a sudden, you know, you get this quick little snippet here in verse 24, where it says, "And these are the children of Zibeon, both Aja and Anah." This was that Anah that found the mules in the wilderness as he fed the asses of his father. And then it just kind of moves back into the chronology there. And this chronology is brought up again in 1 Chronicles, but, you know, it leaves out that detail, that there's this one guy, Anah, that found the mules in the wilderness. And you wonder sometimes when you read these verses, you know, what is the purpose here? Why is God including this detail? I mean, was this just some detail that would have been more relevant to the people around the time when this was written? Would that be something that they would have recognized? But, you know, I believe that we can look at these things and think about them and make application. You know, if you go to the Word of God and you think about a verse and let God, you know, bring other verses to mind, you know, you can find meaning in a lot of these verses that just seem to be kind of, you know, just mundane kind of details that don't really have a lot of significance, right? It's just a story about the name of a guy. They went out in the wilderness. He was keeping the asses of Zibeon, his father, and he found some mules. I mean, that's not exactly earth-shattering new. That's not something you'd read and think, wow, you're going to really just shake the foundations of our theology with Genesis 36, 24. It's probably not going to happen, right? And the temptation often is when we read chapters like this in the Word of God is just kind of zone out, gloss over, just try to enunciate the names and not really pay attention to what's going on. But, you know, if you skip over these chapters, you know, where these chronologies are given, you miss these little gems. You miss these little details. And you might be reading that tonight and say, you know, how is that a gem? Like, how is this story about a guy finding asses or finding mules as he's keeping his father's asses in the wilderness a gem? Well, you know, again, you have to kind of just be willing to meditate upon the Word of God and think about, you know, what applications could be made. Okay, so I'm going to attempt to do that tonight and see what we can get out of it. But the first thing I want to point out here, or the first application I want to make, is in relations to soul winning. Now, I have to be careful here, because I know I've been on a little bit of a streak of kind of, you know, of kind of low-key insulting the congregation here by calling you old and things like that, but just bear with me, all right? I really wanted to take this verse on and see if I can get something out of it, and maybe that's to my detriment tonight. Maybe I'm going to split the church over this, but we'll see. But again, I think there's an application to be made with soul winning, and I'll explain how, okay? So you have a guy that found mules, right, in the wilderness. He's out in the wild, and he found them as he fed the asses of Zibeon and his father. Now, I'm not much of a husbandman. I really don't know about the, you know, the raising of horses and mules and asses. I'm not real familiar. I know that a mule is a hybrid. And I believe an ass is a type of hybrid. At least that's the meaning today. It might not have had the same meaning back then. But, you know, the Bible does, I think, make a distinction here between mules and asses, right? It doesn't, or maybe it's the same animal. I know that's not how we would refer to it today. But just so to not be redundant, he's using two different terms. That's probably what's going on here. But he's out there in the wilderness, and I would assume that he's finding, you know, animals that have either been lost by their owner or, you know, kind of gone wild. Because, again, a mule is a hybrid animal. It's something that has been, you know, bred, you know, specifically to be produced. It's not something that just naturally occurs. It's my understanding. Again, I apologize if I'm getting that wrong to, you know, anybody that's deals with livestock and knows these things. But, you know, I'm just trying to make some application here, okay, based on my limited amount of knowledge when it comes to the equine world or whatever you want to call it. The Esquitarians in the crowd tonight might get a little offended, but forgive me. So again, you say, how has this got anything to do with soul winning? Well, he's out in the wilderness, and he's finding mules, right? Which presumptuously have been lost, right? And that's, so you can kind of see right there one of the applications, or one, you know, one way in which we can make application. We go out and we find wild mules. Now, you say, who are we in the story? Well, we're the asses, okay? I don't know who else. You know, if you're going to follow that logic through, that makes us the asses, right? And of course, you know, that's not a cuss word. It's a Bible word. And it's just a description. It's a, you know, maybe a little bit of an older way to describe that animal as an ass, right? But so I'm not saying that as a derogatory way when I say, you know, tonight in the story, we are the asses. We are the asses in the wilderness, which happens to be the title of the sermon tonight, Genesis 36, part 2, Asses in the Wilderness, right? And, you know, we can have a little bit of levity. We can have a little bit of fun from time to time here at church in the preaching of the Word of God. But, you know, that would make us the asses, right? And, you know, we're kind of out there with the other asses, right? You know, no one's wanting to say amen to that. They're like, yep, we are. We're with a bunch of asses when we go out there soul winning. Right? And we're going out there, but, you know, we're with a particular breed, right? Whatever you want to call it, okay? Well, you know, the Bible's calling it what it's calling it. I'm not necessarily saying you have to call it that. Right? But we're out there with a particular breed, and we're finding perhaps another breed, right? Because, you know, if you do approach it from maybe the more modern definitions today, these are two different animals, to my understanding. Can anyone corroborate that, that there's a difference between a mule and an ass? Is this true?
My understanding is that a mule is a cross between a horse and an ass. That's my
understanding. Okay, see, there you go, right? It's the cross between a horse and an ass. That's what you get a mule. That's what I read, right? Well, then an ass would be its own thing, right? So you have two different breeds of animals, right? And one is kind of wild, lost in the wilderness, right? I mean, if it's in the wilderness, it's not penned up. It's not being properly cared for. There's no one, you know, taking care of it, feeding it, brushing it, keeping it out of the elements, you know, doctoring it when needed. It's just kind of out there in the wild. So you can see how it kind of represents the lost or the unsaved of this world today. They're just kind of out there roaming in the wilderness. They're kind of uncared for. They're unkept spiritually. You know, no one's shodding their feet. No one's giving them, you know, the grain of the Word of God. No one's, you know, giving them the strength and help that they need in order to be, tame wild animals that actually are of some use, right? A wild animal, you know, isn't really of any use to anybody. You know, if we go out and try to find wild horses, the first thing you have to do in order to make them of any practical use as, you know, a beast of burden is you have to break them, right? That's where the rodeos come from. That's where we're going to ride that horse until it submits to a rider, right, and accepts a bit and bridle. So that's kind of the picture there. You know, the mules in the wilderness, that's the unsaved. And they're not really living lives that are, you know, obviously there's utility there. You know, it's not a perfect illustration. They're serving a purpose in society and things like that. But as far as service to God, you know, they're of no use. They're not really being used for anything of any spiritual merit, any spiritual burden. No spiritual burden can be laid upon them, right? They can't really bear that load. They have to be found, right, of one that's out there, you know, with the asses. You know, and that's us. You know, we have to go out there. And again, another great illustration that kind of ties in with this, another, is the fact that he's out there with the asses of Zibeon, what, his father, right? He's out there doing his father's business. You know, that's what we're doing when we're out there soul winning. We're not doing the business of the local church. We're not doing the business of, you know, of the those that are in leadership. We're not obeying the command of the deacon. We're not paying command of the pastor. We're not obeying the command of some board somewhere or council. You know, we're obeying the command to go and preach the gospel to every creature, which was given to us by Christ, which is the decree that he received from his Father. You know, he came to finish the work that was given to him, and now he's passed that off onto us. We are now ambassadors for Christ. You know, we beseech God in Christ's stead for others to be reconciled to God. That's a pretty important job. We're out there, you know, doing the will of our Father, yes, with our fellow asses in the story this evening. But, you know, we're finding the mules. We're finding the other breed, and we're going to, you know, that doesn't go into the details, but obviously these would have been of great value. right? To find this animal, these animals, a whole pack, or I guess it would be horses or a herd, right? Is it a herd? Nobody knows. We are such city slickers. We are so domesticated now. We're just so out of touch with this. I believe horses are in a herd. Yes, they're not a pack animal. They're a herd animal. So they're, you know, they're he's finding a herd of animals that obviously would have been of great value, right? They're just kind of abandoned. They're in the wilderness. You know, that's how we need to approach the loss that we're running into this world. We're going on preaching the gospel and knocking on doors and meeting people. You know, we should try to see the potential and the value in those people. I mean, think about it. Every single person that's in this room that is doing anything for God was at one time not doing anything for God. None of us was just born a soul winner. No one was just, you know, it was in the delivery room on the day of our birth, the king, you know, came out, King James Bible in our hand, suit, you know, ready to just go preach the gospel from day one. As soon as I can learn to walk and talk, I got this down. Like, we had to get saved, you know, we had to get churched, we had to get the character to go out there, we had someone to show us the ropes, we had to go and learn how to do it. You know, we had to learn to take these things on. You know, we were like the mules, and thankfully today we're asses. Right? That's going to play all night, folks. It's going to play all night. Right? That's why I love this verse. But anyway, it's a cheap, easy laugh. But, you know, the application is there. You know, that when we look at people, we need to understand that maybe they're in the wild, they're a mule, but we can make an ass out of them yet. You know, we can bring them into the fold with us, and we can bring them back to our Father, right? And they can be of use just like we one time were brought into that fold and brought up under the preaching of the Word of God and made useful, okay, by doing the will of our Father. You know, there's some other verses that we could turn to. Go to Psalms 126, where we were, Psalms 126. If you want to keep something in Genesis 36, you can. I'm just going to touch on that one verse tonight. I think I've probably touched on it enough already, but you never know. I'll probably have to go back. But where we read this morning in Psalm 126, verse 6, or this evening rather, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." And that's kind of what Anna did here. He kind of goes forth, right? Now, I don't know that he was weeping, and he wasn't bearing precious seed. You know, he had his own animals with him. But, you know, he certainly probably came back rejoicing, right? And he was bringing his sheaves with him, so to speak, right? He's bringing fruit back to his Father. He's going out as an obedient son, going out, just doing the work that's been given him to do. And as a result, you know, he has fruit to bear. He has something to show for his efforts when he returns. The same thing can be said of us. You know, if we go out there and preach the Word of God, you know, we're going and we bear that precious seed, which is the Word of God, you know, we will bring sheaves again. And obviously there's some things that are involved here, right? You have to go forth. You can't be somebody who doesn't go. If you want sheaves, you know, if you want to go find the mules in the wilderness, which maybe would have been a more appropriate title tonight, I don't know. If you want to go find them, you got to go. If you want to have that, you know, they're not going to come to you. These mules are wild. They're out there just, you know, running wild, doing whatever mules do out in the wild, okay? Getting all cut up in the briar patches, you know, who knows? You know, it's not probably not an easy life being out there in the wild. If we want them, if we want to bring them in, you know, we have to go to them. And so many people today have this backwards in Christianity. So many Christians today get this completely backwards. You know, they want to have a seeker-friendly church. Like, don't want to be friendly towards people that are seeking. But, you know, the church is the house of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. It's here for the edifying, the building up of the saints. You know, it's for the saved. It's for the people that already know Christ to come and to be exhorted, to be to live for God and to do the work of God. That's what the purpose of the church is. It's not to turn it into a place where, you know, a means of evangelism. It's just not. And this philosophy is out there. That's why you have churches where every Sunday, every sermon is a gospel presentation. And I'm not against giving gospel presentations in church, you know, but it doesn't have to be during the preaching of the Word of God. You know, we can give, you know, the gospel, you know, after the service, before the service. People are constantly taking people aside in this church and preaching the gospel right here in the building. But that's not the main purpose of this church. It's to empower the people of God, you know, the Anas of this world, to go out there and to find them in the wild. That's where we have to go. I think it's a great picture of that. And here in this verse in Psalm 126, it kind of plays into that. You got to go forth, right? But notice it's not enough to just go. You don't want to just go out of just, you know, some kind of robotic, just kind of monotonous task that you're checking off your list. You got to go forth and weepeth, right? We got to have a burden for the people that we go. And look, this can be something that we all struggle with. I know there's been times that I've struggled with this, where just you feel like you're going to go knock on doors and you wonder if anyone's going to care. You wonder if anyone's going to want to listen. Because quite frankly, sometimes, you know, you get in some of these neighborhoods where they don't. Now, I don't know where you guys are going on Sundays, but I wish you would let me know, because some of the places I've been going lately, it's been hard to weep. You know, I'm weeping for other reasons, okay? You know, but anyway, I'm kind of half joking there. But, you know, we can all fall into that. You know, we can fall into this, you know, where, yeah, I understand. It's, you know, the Great Commission. We got to fulfill that. It's my job. And, you know, if we ever find ourselves doing that, we need to, you know, find a way to get our burden back. And look, if you're going to be a soul winner and you're going to do it for the long haul, like you're going to be a lifelong soul winner, someone who wants to bring a great harvest into, you know, your Father's house, if you want to bring a lot of sheaves in, as it were, you're going to have to be prepared for this, that there's going to be times where it just feels like it's just your duty. And even when it feels like that, we should still go. But, you know, we need to make sure that we don't lose our burden. He that goeth forth, yes, but he that goeth forth and weepeth. I don't think you need to go out there, you know, with a box of Kleenex with you and just be sobbing at every door. You know, but you should have a burden. And sometimes you can lose that burden just be, you know, if we're kind of going to the same places repeatedly where people are disinterested, you know, it can be hard to have a burden. In fact, we can kind of become a little, you know, standoffish maybe at times. I've seen that. One thing I would encourage people to do is maybe go somewhere where people are even, you know, obviously everyone everywhere that's unsaved is spiritually destitute, right? But maybe actually go to a place where people really are just living by, you know, very meager means, right? Go to the reservations. Like, that's not a knock on them. It's just the way it is. And you go to some parts in certain reservations, it's like you're wondering if you're still in America. You know, you go to these places, there's no electricity. You know, I've seen them with dirt floors. There's, you know, the pump. They're happy people. They're fine, whatever. But, you know, there's also a lot of alcoholism, a lot of violence, murder, just a lot of sin that's out there, right? And, you know, some of my most, burdened times, I found myself just most burdened for people has been in those situations where you're ministering to people who really don't have much hope, not only in this world, but also in the next life as well. They're just really struggling. You know, it's important to have our burden. Okay, that'll keep us busy doing our Father's business, right? But also, you need to bear precious seed. That goes without saying, right? We're not doing lifestyle evangelism, okay? We're not going to go out there and try to just win them with, you know, our intellect or reason. We're going to use the precious seed. This is what we're there to sow, the Word of God. Look, and if they don't receive this, then you don't really have anything to stand on. You know, if they don't want to hear it from the Bible, it's like, well, what else do you have to tell them? You know, this is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is the power of God. And it's not, you know, our reasoning or our way of speaking, which, you know, is maybe a relief to those of us that perhaps might consider ourselves, you know, not a very articulate person, or maybe we're more shy and reserved. Well, you don't have to worry about being some, you know, great debater or something like that. You know, we don't want to go out and get in debates with people. We want to find people that want to listen, right? So if you just know what the Bible says, and maybe you can just briefly explain what the Bible's saying, and when it comes to the gospel, you know, that's really all you need. You don't need to be somebody who can, you know, explain away every single false doctrine or every false religion. Some people, especially early on in their soul winning, I know this happened with myself, you know, they get all obsessed with being able to, you know, preach the gospel to certain ways to certain people. Well, I got to have a gospel for a Jehovah Witness. I got to have a gospel for the Mormon. I got to have a gospel for the Catholic. And I got to have a gospel for the Muslim. And they want to have all these clever ways to, like, make their points and argue. No, you don't need that. And look, I'm not against people trying to have dialogue and discuss things. Like, I'm not saying you have to be this rigid person when you're soul winning. But, you know, you also don't, you just give the same gospel to everybody at the end of the day. You know, we ask the question, you know, are you Christian? Do you go to church anywhere? You know, I'm just trying to gauge that person whether or not they're saved. I don't care really what they say. They could say, oh, you know, I'm a Muslim. Okay. I'm gonna preach the same gospel to that guy as I am, you know, to the agnostic or the Catholic. Because it's the precious seed that does that we want to germinate. That's what we want to plant, is the Word of God. Okay? Not us being clever, you know. So again, you can see how this is a great picture of soul winning. You know, he's out there going into the wild, doing his Father's business. You know, he has his own animals with him, right? Those that have been brought up. And he's finding those that are wild, and he's bringing them into that fold. You know, another, if you want to go to Luke chapter 16, we'll transition here into maybe another application. But staying on the subject of soul winning for a minute, you know, again, the picture is going out with mules or finding mules, you know, going out with the asses and finding the mules, right? Whether it's the same animal or a different animal, I'm not exactly sure how it's being used here. But the picture is, you know, bringing those animals. They're both beasts of burden, right? They're both four-legged animals with long ears and manes and tails and everything else. They're basically the same. Some of us probably couldn't even tell them apart. We put up a picture of a horse and a mule and a donkey, or what the Bible calls an ass, we'd probably be like, I don't know. We could probably all identify the horse, but then after that, you know, we might even slip a cow in there, and someone would be like, I don't know what that, you know, like, they'd point at the cow and be like, is that a mule? I don't know. You know, I'm just kidding, right? But the illustration is it's kind of the same thing, right? It's reproducing after its kind, right, in a sense. He's multiplying the same thing. He's got a beast of burden, he's doing the work, and he's finding more. He's bringing in that which is wild. Reminds me of Proverbs 11. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. The fruit of the righteous is a tree, right? The fruit of the righteous is not fruit. It's another fruit-bearing tree, right? The fruit of the righteous is a tree, because we all know that's really what the purpose of fruit is, right? It's not just meat for man, but it also is the vehicle that carries the seed that produces another tree. That's the fruit that we want, is to get people saved so they can get other people saved. You know, and that's a really important way to look at it. Like, think about if we all, every single person, every soul winner in here, just over the course of 1 year, got one person saved and baptized and in church and made a soul winner out of them. I mean, that just the first year alone, how that would change this church. You know, this side of the auditorium would be a little fuller tonight. You know, maybe we'd have to put another chair down the aisle or something like that. I mean, seriously. And if those people did that, I mean, you could see how very quickly a church, in just over a year or two, could really grow and expand if people have that mentality that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. It's another fruit-bearing tree. Okay. So the other thing I want to point out in the story is that Anna is being faithful. You know, if you want that fruit, if you want to be somebody that's going to bear precious seed and bear fruit in your life, if you want to have something to show, if you want to bring, you know, the mules back in from the wild, as it were, you know, you're going to have to be faithful, right? We talked about how this was a commandment of Zibion, his father. You know, he's doing his father's business, and we need to be faithful people. That's how we're going to bear fruit in our lives. That's how we're going to see ourselves multiply over the years. Yes, go. Yes, have a burden. But you have to be faithful in doing it. You have to remain faithful. Look at Luke chapter 16. And have you go there in verse 10. He said, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. You know, I believe Anna, perhaps he was, maybe God kind of directed these mules toward him in the wilderness, because he saw him being faithful with the asses of his father. You know, he handled that little bit that was given unto him, and as a result, God said, well, I'm going to give you more. I'm going to reward your faithfulness, right? Because one, you know, I can't imagine it's a lot of fun wandering around the wilderness with a bunch of asses, okay? Because an ass, which we call a donkey today, it's known as being kind of a stubborn mule, right? A stubborn animal. Some of you might have even heard someone say that. You're as stubborn as an ass, right? That's a saying that's out there. And they're talking about the animal, okay, right? That's what they're kind of known for being. So I can't imagine that Anna, this is, you know, how he wanted to spend his weekend or whatever. You know, all the other guys are, you know, going into town to spend some shekels or whatever. I don't know what they were doing. You know, but he's like, no, I can't hang out. I got to go keep the asses in the wilderness, right? And maybe he didn't even have that kind of attitude. Maybe he was glad to go do his father's work. You know, maybe he was just a good, obedient son that just did what was asked of him, commanded of him, and was just faithful, right? Either way, that doesn't sound like my, that's not my idea of a good time. You know, I like getting out in the woods. I like getting out in the wilderness, but, you know, we only do it for brief moments. You know, we do it for very short stints, right? That's why camping is kind of like, kind of an odd hobby when you think about it. There's probably a lot of people down through the history, you know, that we would look at us and be like, you're doing what? Yeah, we're going to go where there's no plumbing, there's no hot water, and there's no electricity. We're going to sleep, and we're going to let bugs bite us, and hopefully we don't get mauled, right? And they're like, well, that you just described my life, right? You just described, like, the last, you know, 90% or more of human history. Right, you just described how people have been living for the vast majority. Like, why are you doing that? I mean, think about it. Camping is kind of a silly thing to do. Now, I'm for it, right? Now, I've noticed a lot of military guys are not for it. I don't know why. It seems like every military guy I run into is like, camping? No, like Brother Segura, former Marine, not interested in camping, okay? You know, I've known other Marines, other military guys are just like, nope, no thanks. I think, I don't know if it's boot camp, what they did to you, but... maybe they beat some sense into you. I don't know. You've got a better view on things than the rest of us, right? Because it does seem like kind of an odd hobby. Let's go hang out in the wilderness, you know? That's probably not what Anna was really looking forward to doing. Let me just go out there by myself with a bunch of stubborn animals and, you know, wander around in the woods and just, you know, keep them fed or whatever. Take them to this pasture, take them to that pasture, and just feed these wild animals. You know, he's a younger man, perhaps. Maybe he doesn't, you know, maybe he's more interested in other things. Maybe he's got other things on his mind. But you know what? My point is this, is that he's being faithful. He's being faithful to that which was asked of him, commanded of him. He's being faithful, as Jesus said here, in that which is least, right? And as a result, he's given more, right? He goes out there being faithful, doing something that perhaps not everybody was going to sign up to do. It's not really a volunteer position, probably. And he's just faithful to it, and he ends up coming back with more mules. And I got to imagine that put a big smile on his dad's face. Like, you went out with these asses, and you come back with these mules. And, you know, if they are different animals, I mean, think about it. Donkeys or asses are typically the smaller animal. From my understanding, you know, from the pictures I saw on Google, when I Googled this less than a few hours ago, is that mules are the larger animal, right? They're bigger. I mean, you think he's getting more. He's coming back with perhaps an animal that's capable of doing more work, is going to, you know, be maybe less stubborn than an ass. Maybe he's going to be able to pull a larger plow or, you know, have a bigger pack put on it and serve a greater purpose. You know, he was faithful, Anna, in that which is least, and as a result, he was faithful also in much. That's how we, if we want to be given more, you know, we have to be faithful with what we have. We have to be faithful with what we have been given. It doesn't do any good to sit around and think about why we don't have more, why we aren't this, or why we aren't like that. It doesn't matter. What we need to be worried about is, are we being faithful with what we do have, right? Look at verse 11. If you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, which is money, who will commit unto your trust the true riches? Verse 12, and if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Now, this is a verse I think about, I don't want to say a lot, but it's definitely one that's on my mind. You know, we hope and aspire to be an independent church. You know, but if we want that which is our own, we need to be faithful with that which is another's, right? You know, we're a satellite church. You know, we're under, you know, the leadership of Pastor Anderson. You know, and I'm not saying we haven't. You know, we have, I believe, been faithful, and this church is a success. You know, and if we remain being faithful, you know, we eventually, in due time, we'll have that which is our own. We'll have our own name. You know, we'll have our own decal on the front or whatever. We'll have our, you know, and that's probably all that'll change. But, you know, it'll be ours at that point. And obviously, it's all Christ, but we want to be faithful. Now, if you would, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I can't believe I'm running out of time already. But I guess that's a good thing. You know, we want to be faithful. The Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 6, most men will proclaim every one his own goodness. A lot of people want to tell you how good they are. A lot of people want to tell you just how they're the best at this and they're the best at that. They like to brag, right? But a faithful man, who can find? Who can just find somebody that doesn't need to be acknowledged, that doesn't need to hear, you know, his own praise, that just wants to serve, that doesn't need recognition, that just wants to do the work that's put in front of him and just be faithful? The Bible says that's a rare person. That's a hard thing to find. You know, but that's the attitude that we have to have if we want to be given that, which is more. You know, if you want to go out and find the wild mules, you have to be faithful. You have to be faithful if you want to come back with more, if you want to be increased, if you want to be given more, be faithful. And part of that means, you know, you're not doing things just to be recognized. I mean, that's what we looked at last week when we were going through Mark 12, is that, you know, some guys, you know, he warned them to not be like the Sadducees, which, you know, make broad their phylacteries and wear long garments and for pretense make long prayers, standing in the marketplace, love to be called rabbi. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. That's what he said of those type of people. You know, they got what they're looking for. If we just want to proclaim our own goodness and hear it echoed back to us, then, you know, that's all we're going to have. But what we want to be is the faithful man, because the faithful man who does not need recognition is the guy that in the long run is going to be blessed of God and is going to be given more. Okay. Did I have you go to you went to 1 Corinthians, right? Proverbs 28, I'll read to you again. Now, from verse 19 in Proverbs 28. Why do we want to be faithful? Because that's how you lead to being blessed. That's kind of what's in the story, right? Anah is just sent out in the wilderness by his father, and he's just faithful, and he's blessed because he finds the mules. I mean, that's a blessing. To me and you, that's probably, we'd probably want to find something else today, right? I don't know how to bring that into, you know, a modern example, okay? We want to go and find a plate full of tacos or something. I don't know, right? We want to be blessed some other way. If we found a bunch of, like, literal mules today, we'd probably be like, you know, I don't even know how to butcher that. what do you do with this? You know, we wouldn't even know where to sell them, okay? But obviously, the picture is that he's being blessed because he's being faithful. Why do you want to be the faithful man? Why do you need to not have, you know, need to not make a reward about hearing other people say your name? Because that's how you're truly blessed. That's what leads to being blessed. And look, I'm not against people being acknowledged or, you know, it's just when we go, that's what we're looking for and that's what we're seeking after and that's what we want. You know, then you know, that's not going to lead to the real blessing. The real blessing is that when we're faith comes when we are faithful. The Bible says in Proverbs 28, I'll read to you, he that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread. You know, the guy that just does the work is going to be the one that has the bread. The guy that goes in the wilderness and obeys his father is the one that's going to find more. But he that follow after vain person shall have poverty enough. You know, if you're not faithful, you just want to be, you know, you don't want to do the work. You just want a quick fix. You want to, you know, just have an easy time of it. You're actually going to end up having poverty. Because it goes on and says in verse 20, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. I believe those verses are tied in. Just tilling your land, being faithful, being dutiful. That's the guy that's going to abound with blessings. He that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. You know, the guy that just either by hook or by crook is going to just try to get money quick is going to actually be the guy that has poverty, ironically. Be faithful because that leads to being blessed. Now, what does faithfulness look like? Well, it looks like service. You know, it looks like serving, right? That's the picture in Genesis 36, in verse 24, is that him going out of the wilderness, his dad's not sending him on a, you know, all expenses paid cruise in the wilderness. That's your fare has been paid for via the asses. No, he's being sent to work, right? He's serving his father when he goes. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. He says, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord. I love that he says this about Timotheus. Because again, Timotheus is not his son, right? We know that Timotheus was found later on. I believe in Acts 16 is after he is split up with Barnabas, and he then goes on and finds Timotheus. It might be Acts 13. I can't remember exactly, but he finds him being well reported of the brethren. Right? That's what's said about Timothy, and we know that Lois and Eunice were his mother and grandmother. You know, because Paul talks about the faith that dwelleth in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, in the mother Eunice. Again, it goes backwards, I think. But the point being that this is not literally Paul's son, right? But I mean, wouldn't you, I mean, look, that would, if to have Paul say that about you, wouldn't that be kind of cool? To be endeared to a man of God like that, to where he's saying, this is my beloved son. You know, that's kind of a special thing. Paul didn't probably say that about a lot of people, right? Now, Paul obviously was very affectionate and had a lot of care for many people, loved all the churches. But he's saying, I'm sending unto you Timotheus, my beloved son, right? Who is faithful in the Lord. You know, he as a father with the son, he labored with me in the gospel, he says elsewhere of Timothy. Now, how did Timothy get there? Through faithfulness, right? And that faithfulness was manifested in service. Because when Paul found him, he says he was well reported of the brethren, meaning he was already a faithful man. He was already in church, already saved, doing the work of God. Then it says, and him would Paul have to go with him to the, and that's who Paul took. He's looking for a companion in travel to go out and preach the gospel and to plant these churches. He says, who am I going to take with me? And look, and it wasn't just anybody. He wasn't going to take just anybody. Remember, you know, that's why him and Barnabas split up, because he thought it not good to take John Mark with them to the work, because he went not to work with them when they were in Pamphylia. You know, he flaked out, right? So he's looking for he's not looking for another slacker. He's not looking for somebody who's unfaithful. He's looking for somebody who is faithful and for somebody that's going to go to the work with him and do the hard work of the ministry and serve. That's what faithfulness looks like, is service. And that's where the blessing comes, is when we are faithful and we serve, we're blessed. I mean, this is a pretty, this in and of itself to me is a blessing, to have this affinity with Paul. To have Paul say of you that he is faithful in the Lord. I mean, I don't know that you can really say a better thing about somebody. You know, you just sometimes, you know, that's how people are described. Well, what about so-and-so? They're faithful. You know, I mean, what else can you, I mean, what other great thing can you say about them? You know, certainly nothing about their looks. Oh, right? You know, but I mean, what else, there's no greater compliment in my book than to just be deemed faithful by somebody. You know, he's faithful, he's steady, he's reliable. That's a huge compliment, if you want to call it that, but it's something that we should want to be said of ourselves, because that is where the blessing comes in. The blessing comes when people are faithful, right? That's what Anna did. He was faithful. He went out and did probably something that a lot of other people would want to do. Maybe he himself didn't want to do it, but went and did it anyway because he's faithful, and he was blessed as a result. Same with Timotheus. The beloved son of Paul, you know, someone who's that endeared to him, is being called faithful in the Lord. Now, if you would, go to Luke chapter 6, and I'll close there. Luke chapter number 6. Made it. Okay? Luke chapter 6. Managed to stretch that one. No, I'm just kidding. That's the picture, though. You know, Anna is going into the wilderness, just being a faithful man. You know, it's a great picture of soul winning. You know, we need to be faithful to soul winning. Look, there's going to be times when you don't feel like it. You're going to be in that church van, that church, you know, in the car, and you might even feel like you're with a bunch of asses. You know what? Sometimes you actually might be. No, just kidding. Just kidding. You know, you might feel that way, but you know, you need to be faithful anyway. You need to be faithful. And you're with children of God, okay? You're with God's own people. But you need to be faithful to that because that's when you find the mules. That's when the blessing comes. But that's all done through service, which requires what? Sacrifice. Sacrifice. Look at Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Jesus said, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosoms. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." We want to be an open-handed people. We want to be a generous people, and not just with, you know, our resources, but with our time and with our energy. And with our, you know, our compassion, you know, and we want to go out there and care for these people and pull people out of the fire. That takes sacrifice. It's a sacrifice of your time to go out there on a Sunday afternoon. It's a sacrifice of your time to go out there and to on a Saturday afternoon to go out there. It's becoming less of a sacrifice now, it's cooling off. I'm just kidding. Right? But you know, it's still a sacrifice, right? I mean, we all have things that we could be doing. Every single one of us. You know, I've got the yard to prove it. Okay? You know, we could all be at home weeding and trimming and cleaning things up and fixing this and fixing that. But you know what? Sometimes those things just need to be, we'll get to them. There's more important matters at hand. You know, we need to get out there and do the Father's work. And we need to make that sacrifice. And it's not like it's not a you know, sometimes we might say things like, it's a thankless job. It's really not, though. There's a reward to the laborer. That's what he's saying here. You know, give and it shall be given unto you. Be like Anna. Be faithful to the work. Go out in the wilderness, even with those asses if you have to, and you'll find the mules. It'll be given unto you. You'll be blessed, right? If you're faithful and you serve and you sacrifice, there is a blessing. Because what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you again. You know, we want people to be generous and kind and compassionate and merciful to us. Well, we need to be the same way with other people. You know, and it might not even... Well, anyway, I want to go on and on about that. But, you know, that's the message tonight. You know, is that we, you know, can look... You know, there's a couple lessons. One is that don't just gloss over your Bible reading. Oh, you know, Genesis 36. I mean, who cares who's the Duke of what? I'm just going to skip that. Well, you're going to miss verse 24. And, you know, 1 Chronicles 1 through 9, there's a lot of that. Where it's just like the son of, the son of, the son of. And then all of a sudden, it's just like one or two verses where God. And it's like, wow. It's a really cool verse about some cool people that did some cool things. But it's tucked in there. For who? For the faithful. For people who will faithfully read the Word of God. They're the ones that are going to be blessed. They're going to find, you know, these other little nuggets that are in there. And that's one lesson. But the, you know, the exact application we can make tonight is that, you know, we have a work to do in the wilderness, and that's to go out and find these wild mules, right, that are just wandering around and make them useful for the kingdom of heaven. And we do that by being faithful, and if we'll do that, we'll be blessed. But it's going to require service. It's going to require sacrifice. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, again, thank you for this church. Thank you for these people that have assembled together.
Song number 30, Nothing But the Blood, and then song number 30.